Let's think about that reading that Julian Battersby brought to us a little while ago. Julian is an actor, and he was able to bring out something of the wonderful meaning of our story of Naaman the general. The general who took a bath. Yes, it was Naaman who had the bath. He didn't want to have the bath. Not at all. Sometimes we don't like having a bath. We think, oh, why must I have a bath? Well, let's think about Naaman. A great general. That's who he was. We heard about him. There he is. I try to draw him. I draw these pictures as well as I can. I'm not very original in my drawings, but I can copy quite well. So I look at a picture book and think, that's how you draw a general, eh? All right. So, General Naaman. A heathen man from a heathen kingdom, Aram. He wasn't of the Israel faith at all. But he was a terrific fighter. Everybody said, General Naaman, oh, he's just terrific. And that's how they felt about him. He was very famous. Let's put his spear in just to remind us. General Naaman, it says, was a mighty man in valor, a great hero to his people of Aram. Every victory people used to sing about when he went to battle with his troops, he never failed. Every battle he took part in, he won. Every time. People said, General Naaman is just wonderful. So he had everything going for him. Everything. Fame, let's put that up. And victory, of course, naturally. Always victorious. And success. Always successful. So when people thought about Naaman, he can't do anything wrong. Naaman is wonderful. They would sing songs about him. If they had a popularity contest in Aram, always General Naaman was top. Even though he had a king, the king wasn't top. He was a fine man, I'm sure. But actually, Naaman was the man of the moment. As you heard in the reading which Julian took, there was a big but. Any of my younger listeners, what was the problem? Can you remember? Have a go. He was, thank you very much. You're talking about the fact he needed a bath. That's right. And the funny thing is, he didn't know why he needed a bath. That's a strange thing. I'll tell you the reason why he needed a bath was because he had a terrible illness. In today's world, we don't have such a fear of the illness that Naaman had, because the illness he had, we can now cure with drugs and with medicine. I've met with people who've had Naaman's illness in my travels. His illness was leprosy, which is a skin complaint. And it was a dreaded skin complaint. In those days, if you had leprosy, you're going to die. You would die. And so when Naaman contracted leprosy, people said, what? Our general, popular man of the day, everything going for him, but, got leprosy. It's a terrible thing. So he thought, I am going to die. Fame, victory, success, but. And it was a huge but. He needed to be put right from his leprosy. How is it going to happen? He didn't know. It's a picture of us, actually. You see, it doesn't matter, really, whether you've got fame, whether you've got terrific looks. It doesn't matter whether you've got lots of money. It doesn't matter whether you've got a fantastic home. You can be adored by millions. But if the thing at the heart of your life isn't right, well, you're going to come to bits. Jesus has said that. What shall it profit somebody if they've got the whole world and lose their soul? We know that today. You can be very prominent in sport. You can be prominent in society. You can be adored by millions of people. But if you haven't got your life together, with God at the center, the whole thing is going to be one great mess, and it will go on being a mess. Always. That's what Naaman felt about himself. Something was wrong. Very ill in his case. And although he had everything going for him, he had got nothing going for him. Because he was in terrible trouble. Let's change the picture, shall we? Just keep that in your mind. Fame, victory, success. But that's the problem. I feel very sorry for Naaman. And I'm sure that his people did as well. When they thought of Naaman, they said, oh, how could this happen to our great hero? What an awful thing to happen. So now let's have a picture of him in bed. Not feeling happy at all. General Naaman, I mean, I don't know whether their beds were like that. I've tried to draw the bed as well as I can. With this nice red blanket. Well, pink. And there's the general feeling pretty bad, pretty ill. And of course they're saying, you've got leprosy. Yeah, that's terrible news. Well, if you've got leprosy, I'm afraid, no visitors. Because everybody would be afraid of catching it. So they would bring him food and just give it to him carefully. But, you know, there he is in his little bedroom, poor Naaman, feeling pretty awful. No visitors, and doomed to die. This is all in the Bible. It's a Bible story, I'm telling you. Ladies and gentlemen, have you heard the story of Naaman? This is a picture of us. Oh, it is. We haven't got leprosy, but we were singing earlier on about God being able to heal us of the things in our lives that spoil our friendship with Him. That's worse. The sickness of sin and being away from God and not knowing Him personally. But there was another wonderful but in the story. But he had leprosy. But there was a young woman in his house. We read about it. You heard Julian read. And the young woman was just a young girl, teenager, a young girl, and she'd been captured in one of General Naaman's great battles. And they said, okay, we'll have her then to sweep the floor, cook the food, dust the shelves. She can work in the house. She's our servant. We've captured her from Israel. And they didn't know that they got a servant of God in the house. She knew the Lord. She knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She was an Israelite girl. And she would bring him his food, carefully, of course. And there's this girl, and in the house. And while she was there, she looked at her master. She thought, so ill. Of course, nothing could be done for him. Nothing at all. Then suddenly, ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, she had an idea. She remembered. Suddenly, got a terrific idea, and as she had the idea, can't make that stick, stick. As she had the idea, she thought, there is somebody in Israel who can help this man. They don't know about him, because they're in Aram, but I'm from Israel. And if I could only introduce General Naaman to Elisha, God's prophet, God's servant. Maybe he could pray for Naaman, and maybe Naaman would get better. So she told him this and said, what about Elisha? I think he could pray for you. Maybe God will make you well if you meet with Elisha. He'll pray for you. He knows God. He knows God. And Naaman thought, what a good idea. May as well try. He was feeling terrible about it. But he thought, let's give it a try. He told his king. Then the king tried to do a deal with the king of Israel. The king of Israel didn't understand at all. But anyway, finally it happened. They said, we'll make the journey to go and see. What was the name of the prophet? What did I say his name was? You got it right. Elisha. So that's what happened. Change the picture, shall we? As we change the picture, think of the journey. Have you ever gone on a long journey to see the doctor? You always feel a bit funny inside when you go to see the doctor. You think, I hope it's going to be all right. Of course, it always is all right. So I'm pleased when I go and see my doctor and ask him for anything to help me. So I think he's going to help me. I'll feel better. Let's have a picture now of Elisha's house. I think it was like that. Little eastern house. And Elisha would have been inside eating his cornflakes on that day that General Naaman came. He brought with him suits of clothes, presents, silver, gold. He came with horses, chariots, great lot of people to come along with him, because after all, he was the most popular man. I can't draw all that. I tried to think, could I draw the horses, the chariots, the suits of clothes? I thought, I can't. So the horses have gone off to nibble the grass. And here is Elisha. And we just got the chariot. He got his chariot nicely parked. Then he said to one of his servants, he said, would you now go? There's Elisha's house. Would you go and introduce me? I am, after all, General Naaman. Would you go? I don't want to walk in by myself. You go and introduce me. So the servant said, yes, certainly, Your Grace. The servant went to the house. And he thought, I will go and tell Elisha. So he knocked on the door. Who is it? Because Elisha was having his cornflakes. The servant said, Naaman is here, the great general, the greatest fighter in the whole of the Middle East, winner of victories. He's here with his horses, his chariots, his servants, and I'm one of them to make the introduction to you, great prophet. Would you come out now? Would you like to have an introduction to the great general Naaman so that you can pray for him? Elisha only just came out of the front door. First of all, he shouted from inside, oh, it's all right, no hurry, there's no rush. Finally, he came out. And what do you think he said? Can you remember from the reading? He said, yes, General Naaman could do something. He didn't even meet him. Didn't even come out to say, hello, General, how are you? What a great honor to have you at my house. He just came out and he said, I think what he should do is take a bath. He should take a bath in the River Jordan. Go and wash. That's what he said. Very, very simple. Go and have a wash in the River Jordan. And he said, as we pray, as I pray, I believe that the God of heaven will cure him of his leprosy. Make him well. Go and have a wash. Very simple. Do you think the Naaman was grateful to hear that? Can you remember the story? Was he grateful? Did he say, oh, what a wonderful thing, I'll go and have a bath? He was not. He was absolutely furious. I can't draw the words that he said, because they were very rude words. He was very, very cross indeed. Naaman was not pleased. And the only thing that the Bible has thought fit to print out of the things that Elisha said was, Jordan? That muddy little stream? To go and wash in Jordan? That horrible stream? Why can't the rivers of Abana and Pharpar, which I know much better, Damascus, much better stream, can't I wash there? Why must I go? And he said, says he turned and he went away, very, very angry indeed. Then one of his servants said to him, oh look, please, Naaman, don't be cross. Don't be cross, they said. You're so cross. If the prophet had said to you, go win a big victory, you'd have done it. He's given you something very simple to do. Do it. Go and wash 7 times in the River Jordan. So finally he swallowed his pride and he said, all right, I'll do it. If the prophet says I'll do it, I should do it, then I'll do it. So we change the picture now, I think really for the last time. See, this is a picture of us. People don't like to be told do something simple when they come to start with life with God. They like to think, well, like, Can't I be like Naaman? Can't I do something special? Can't I kind of earn my way to knowing God? The answer is nope, you can't. So we'll have the last picture. Here's the bath now. Oh, it's an awful bath. It's not really very nice. Because you see, it actually was just the Jordan. There's no enamel on the bath, nothing like that. So that as Naaman was challenged about taking this bath, then when he saw the Jordan, he thought, this is awful. The Jordan. Well, it's got bulrushes everywhere. Let's put in the bulrushes, just to remind us it wasn't very sort of nice. There's no soap there, no sponge, nothing like that. It was just sort of, well, it was just reeds. And he was told, get in among the reeds and you'll find you'll get better. He said, I don't want to do that. Why should I do that? Why can't I go to the much nicer rivers? Come on, they said, General. You get into the water and you'll find that the prophet will help you with his prayers. And you'll get better. He said, I don't want to do it. But that's what he had to do. Get in among the reeds. With all the slugs, you know, the slime. He thought, I don't want to do it. Horrible. They said, and you've got to do it 7 times, they said. So in he went. Shall we show that? Here he is going down for the first time. Oh! He was not pleased. Awful. And as he came up, coming up out of the water, if you have done this, you swallowed some of it. Awful. He said, Are you well? Am I well? I'm not well. I'm not better. Look, there's still leprosy all over me. I'm not better. They said 7 times, he said. 7 times. Do it again. So he went down again. Came up. I'm not better. They said, General, you've only done it twice. 5 more times. Each time. What is it telling us? I'll tell you what it's telling us. It's telling us about God's cure, not just for Naaman. God's cure for everybody. Do you know I learnt this story when I was 4 years old? I was told this story when I was 4. It's always stayed with me, how that God's cure is humbling. See, no matter how well known you are, no matter how good you may think you are, no matter how well placed you think you are in society, you need to be humbled and come to Jesus Christ and say, I'm in trouble. I don't know you. My sins are not forgiven. Forgive me for the sickness of my sin. I've kept you at arm's length all these years. Boys and girls can do the same thing and keep God out of their lives. So can grown grandparents. They can keep God out all those years. God's cure is very humble. God's cure is very simple. That's what we learn from them. He didn't have to do something terrific to be cured. All he had to do was to take a bath. And that's what we're told in God's word. To be washed clean of our sins so that God says, I'll never even remember that you've done things against me. When you come to the cross of Jesus Christ and tell him, I've been wrong. That's the first thing. I've been wrong. Secondly, I come to Jesus. Enter into my life, Lord Jesus, and wash me from the things that are wrong. God's cure is humbling, simple, and last of all, free. It's free. Do you have to pay anything? No. You don't have to pay anything to be put right with God. So it was with Naaman. To be cured of the thing that was really a problem for him, all he had to do was to get into the water. Did he do that? Yes, he did. He went in again. 3rd time. 4th time. 5th time. Came up. And still not really well. I said, well, look at this leprosy. Look at all there. Look at all there. I said, go on. Go in a 6th time. Go on. Come on, General. went in a sixth time. He said, look. He said, go in a seventh time. He went in a seventh time and down he went into the water. Came up again. And as he came up, he knew that something had changed. Elisha, you see, knew God. Elisha could pray to God. And as Naaman came up out of the water, he realized, I'm well. How happy the servants were. How happy everybody was. There's another part of the story which we won't go into today, but we have to remember that Naaman then said to Elisha, it's wonderful to be well. Can I pay you? Do you need a suit of clothes? Would you like some silver, gold? What would you like? Anything. Elisha said, nothing. Keep it all. Can't be paid for. It's free. It's free. Again, ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, the best things in life are free. And when God comes into our lives, in New Testament terms, when God comes into our lives in Jesus Christ, it's free. He forgives us like that. In one moment. I was 13 when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life. I didn't know much about it, but I knew enough to know that Jesus loved me, as we were singing a moment ago. My grandpa, on my mother's side, didn't become a follower of Jesus till he was 76. See, that's very late. It was late. Had he gone to church before? Yes. He'd been to church many times, but he still had been keeping Jesus Christ at arm's length, didn't want him in his life. At age 76, my grandpa asked the Lord Jesus to come into his life. 6 months later, he was dead. So it's never too early to ask Christ to come into our lives. You're never too young. I don't know, some of you, 5 years old, 6 years of age. I've known people who are 4 who have asked Jesus Christ into their lives. 4 years old. They say, Jesus, I want you in my life. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me from my badness. Come into my life. Anybody here in their 80s? And you still don't know the Lord Jesus? Ask him right now. Just as you're sitting. You don't have to have a terrific prayer about it. Something very beautifully made up. Tell him quietly, I've been wrong. I've been wrong. And I'm sitting among friends in all souls. There's prayer, there's love here. Somebody in their teens here? Some very successful person? Or somebody here, the whole roof has fallen in on top of you. Everything's in a muddle. Ask him. Ask the God of Elisha. Ask Christ to come into your life right now. People have done that often in this church. While we've been having our service, they've asked him. Later on they'd say to us, I prayed a prayer. I've asked him. Then we've got one or two helpers here. They'll help. So we can be set on the road that leads to eternal life, forgiveness of sin, and to know it, like Elisha did. Let's have our closing prayer now as we stand. Or rather as we sit. I think as we sit we'll have our prayer. Now I'm not speaking to everybody. I'm just speaking for one person here. Maybe a young person. You may be 3, 4, 5 years of age. You may be 10 or 11. Maybe in your teens. Maybe somebody is a bit older. This is your moment. I'm going to say a short prayer. You say it step by step, silently in your mind, after me. I'm only speaking it for one person. Here's the prayer. Lord Jesus, I've been wrong. I need to be washed from my wrongs. I can think of the worst things that I've ever done. Please forgive me for all of them. I'm coming to your cross where you have died for me. and love me. Lift my sins off me. You take them, Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive me. Come into my life. For from now on, I want to serve you. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.